This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Hi, this is Susan Marie from the Doggy Diva Show. This week, pet diabetes advice, senior pet adoptions, and healthcare. Then, the story of a war hero's rescue by his beloved service dog. That's what's on our show this week. Let's get started.
Hey, do you hear that? What is that?
It's the bark heard round the world. The Doggy Diva Show. Here's Susan Marie.
Hi, welcome to the Doggy Diva Show, the show for animal lovers. I'm your host, Susan Marie, and as always, I'm joined by my canine co-hosts, the Doggy Divas themselves, Francesca, Coco, and our newest little diva, Miss Olive. Miss Olive is the cute little Italian Greyhound rescue in the picture with the microphone. Thank you for joining us today as we bring the experts in the pet and animal world right to you. Email us at doggydivashow@aol.com. That's doggydivashow@aol.com. We love hearing from you. So go grab a cup of coffee and your pet's favorite treat, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Does your dog itch, scratch, stink, or shed like crazy? Come to Dynavite for help.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynavite.
Dynavite for life.
Pick up 2 tubes of Dogosuds.
Get the 3rd tube free.
Peppermint, tea tree, lavender, Dogosud shampoo.
Made with all-natural coconut, jojoba, aloe. Great for healthy skin and soft, shiny coats.
But no itchy, harsh chemicals.
Lather up, rinse away.
Try Dogosuds. Buy 2, get 1 free.
At Dynavite.com.
Dinovite.com.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. We are here with Monica Layton, president of Professional Pet Sitting. And Monica, you know, this is a month when we recognize like a lot of illnesses, but this is also one that it's very interesting, I think we should talk about, which is National Pet Diabetes Month. Can you fill us in on that?
So, pet owners get overwhelmed when they hear the diagnosis of diabetes. I mean, the thought of, you know, having to check blood sugars and give insulin, it can become a little overwhelming and daunting for anybody, more or less having to handle doing it for our pets who don't understand what we're trying to do to them. So I just wanted to kind of give some information and tips on that. Number one, pet diabetes signs, things that could occur in your pet that would give you, you know, the symptom of going to the pet and checking for diabetes. The number one thing is drinking a lot of water. Obviously, when they're drinking a lot, they're going to urinate a lot. They can sometimes stop grooming, especially in cats. Like, they'll get flaky, kind of dry skin, especially in the back end, in the back of the coat. They won't groom as much. And they can actually become overweight as well. Some of them severely overweight. So those are, you know, some symptoms and signs that your pet may be having a diabetic issue going on. So the main thing is coming up with a correct level of insulin to where the pet is on, you know, a level playing field, and making sure that, you know, the blood sugar is not going too low or it's not going too high, because then you can get into medical complications. So how you do that, and the best and easiest thing to do, is by simply getting a pet glucometer. They sell them at all vet's offices. Or if you do over-the-counter ones, we've had success with the One Touch Ultra. You want a glucometer that takes micro samples, like mini micro samples. They have one that is by Abbott, which is AlphaTrack. And that is a pet one, and it's calibrated for dogs or cats. You get a more accurate reading. But we do have a lot of clients that do use like the One Touch Ultras and some of the other ones over the counter and have had success for it. When you do the glucometer, oftentimes when you first get started and you're first diagnosed with diabetes, it can be a fluctuation of getting that PET at a stable number. And it can change with the amount of food your pet eats. So the number one thing to remember with diabetic pets and food care is you always want to feed the same diets, the same amounts of that diet, the same time frames. So it's better if you have a cat or a dog that's diabetic and they're kind of free fed, it's better to change that habit and get into scheduled feedings. The sugar, and when they take in food, you know, it's digested, the sugars come out, that affects the insulin level. So one day if they're eating one cup and the next day they're eating a half a cup, then the amount of insulin you give is going to have to change based on the food intake. So you're constantly having to change that insulin level. So if you can get them on a regular feeding schedule to where they're getting the same amount of items, and this will include treats. So you always want to do the same amount of treats per day, the same type of treats, because anytime they get something different or anytime anything's changed up, that's going to change up your insulin levels because it's going to change up your sugar levels. So that is the number one hurdle, is getting the food on a regular basis. If you can do that, then finding your correct insulin level is so much easier. So what we usually recommend is taking the dog's insulin once to twice a day. Cats usually, you know, at least once a day. And you can do it very easy with the PET glucometer kit. They give you this little lancet, and you can lancet on the side of the pad of their feet. It's a sensitive area, and it won't automatically start bleeding. So if you put the lancet on the side of their pad, not on the bottom, because you don't want it to be sensitive where they walk, but if you lancet the side of the pad and then just give it a little squeeze, you'll get a small drop of blood out from that. And then you just put the little glucometer stick inside your glucometer. It'll suck up that little blood sample and you have your number. And then you just give the insulin per the, you know, correct dosage according to your veterinarian for whatever your levels are. And oftentimes the majority of pet owners that do the at-home insulin levels, you can start getting into the pattern. And after a couple weeks, instead of doing it daily, you can go down to 2-3 times a week. Then maybe go down to once a week, as long as the pet maintains a regular glucose reading. And then if you notice that the pet seems a little off or it's not eating as well, then you just want to go back and, you know, check it for those couple days, get them back to normal, and then you can go back to your schedule. So at first, it's a commitment to get them acclimated and on the right level. But after a while, you know, you can, you know, take the blood less to where you're just doing the insulin on a regular basis. And it's a very manageable disease that, even though there's a lot of info and it does seem overwhelming, it's a very capable thing to get through and to get the pets healthy and live a nice long life.
Well, I thank you very much, because I think people do get overwhelmed and it does become daunting to think that they have to, you know, check every day or multiple times a day. So you brought it right down into layman's terms and it's very easy. So if you do have a special needs pet, such as a diabetic pet, this makes it much easier to manage having all this information. So I thank you very much.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Hello, everyone. Miss Olive and Sophia the Doggy Diva want to thank you for your amazing response to their special book, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home. And they want to let you know that Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home is now available in both hardcover and softcover. And that's at Amazon.com. As Miss Olive says, woohoo, yippee! Thank you, everyone. Coming up, how the right foods could help your senior pet live longer. Stay tuned.
Put on a perfectly possum pet party. Having an awesome birthday or adoption day celebration for your four-legged friend, or just want a fun excuse to throw a fun party with your friends from the dog park. Deck out your party with Molly and Bandit Pet Party Accessories, party products designed specifically for pets. There are wearables, including adjustable pet party hats, bow ties, and tutus. The photo prop kits include funny glasses and hats. the party supplies and decorations include coordinating table covers, party banners, cake decorations, and treat bowls, cups, and bags. Everything you need to create great memories and Instagram-worthy photos. They're available in two colorful themes, Tropical and Fireman. It's a dog's life. Celebrate it with Molly and Bandit Pet Party at mollyandbanditpetparty.com/petlife.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets
on Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Now, November is Adopt a Senior Pet Month. It's a very special time for homeless senior pets, though I believe each month should be Adopt a Senior Pet Month. But there are certain things with seniors that everybody needs to know and be familiar with. And we are so happy to welcome today Kim Gablin, Senior Marketing Director at Biljack Foods, who's going to give us some helpful advice, you know, when thinking about or adopting a senior pet. Welcome, Kim.
Hi, Sue. And thank you for having me on.
Oh, my pleasure. Now, you know, November is Senior Pet Month. How can dog owners begin to recognize when their own pet is starting to age?
You know, we don't always see all the changes, right, that are happening inside of our dogs. And so, you know, it's funny because when you talk about senior pets, you know, your dog usually isn't acting like a senior until they're much older. But, you know, we tend to generalize and say, oh, well, they're seniors, you know, hitting certain ages. So, you know, for larger breeds, we think about them being more of a senior dog around age 6 and up. And then for, you know, for medium dogs, it's usually around age 7 or 8 and up. And then for smaller dogs, it's usually around, you know, age 8 or 9 and older. So, you know, it really depends on the size of your dog, but you're not always going to see those changes right away. But there may be some things going on inside, like their metabolism may be slowing down a little bit, or their immune system may be a little bit different. And you also may see some composition body changes, right? As dogs age, they sometimes have the tendency to lose muscle mass. So some of those things take a long time to show up, but we kind of consider them to be senior, you know, starting at that 6-year age and older as they're bigger dogs and getting smaller.
Yeah. You know, and for those who are looking to adopt a senior pet or for those who have senior fur kids, what type of support may a senior dog need?
Yeah, you know, I think that senior dogs are excellent pets to adopt because, you know, a lot of times they kind of already know the program. You know, they're oftentimes potty trained. They've maybe been in a house before. So there's a lot of things that actually make them really easy to adopt. But there are a couple things that are a little bit different about senior dogs. So really there's 4 areas to think about when you think about a senior dog. You know, first of all is activity. You know, we all need to be moving. When we keep moving, that keeps us healthy. But, you know, you may not be doing maybe as high impact of activity with your senior dog as maybe you were doing when the dog was younger. So, you know, you might go on a walk, but, you know, you might not go on a 3-hour walk. You might go on a 20-minute walk. So it's important to keep that in mind when you're thinking about activity. It's also really important, oral health and keeping their teeth clean. Mm-hmm. So, you know, brushing them regularly. You know, there are so many products out there these days that help with dental health that it's great to be able to get into a routine and make sure that you're either brushing or doing something to be able to help them with that. Or, you know, sometimes dogs do have the tendency to lose some teeth or break a tooth. And so if you do that, you want to be able to make sure that they're, you know, eating a food that has an easy to chew kibble, right, to make it easy for them to eat. Third, it's, of course, the veterinarian, as you know. It's important to get to the veterinarian, see them on a regular basis. And, you know, it's even important when they get older because a lot of times a lot of veterinarians are doing preventative work where they can actually do some blood tests, do some extra checks on your older dog, and kind of give you a heads up if something's happening so that you can act a little bit faster and be a little bit more proactive with their health. And then last but not least, and you and I had talked about this before, but I always call them thoughtful accommodations. So it's sometimes harder to jump up on the bed as dogs age or jump up on the sofa. You know, so maybe you need to think about getting them, you know, there's lots of little stairs out there that make it easier if you let your pets on the bed or on the sofa. You know, those are things you can do. You know, helping them into the car. they're just making sure that they're safe. You know, they may have potty accidents, so it could be that, you know, that you don't let them roam as much, or maybe you're using pee pads. So there's a lot of different ways to be able to kind of help them, you know, have it easier and minimize the amount, the chance that they're going to kind of hurt themselves while they're in the process of going through their normal daily activities.
And having a household full of thoughtful accommodations, because I have so many... I've seen you once. I can totally identify with those. Are great tips. Now, how can...
Yes, you know all about that.
I'm knowing all about that. That's why this is my kind of month. How can, like, food and nutrition, how can that help, like, senior dogs kind of age comfortably, age gracefully?
Yeah, you know, a lot of the senior dog foods out there, you know, and certainly at Biljack, you know, what we're doing is we're adjusting, we're making some adjustments in the food and in the food recipe to make sure that we're kind of helping them with the challenges that they may be facing, right? So, you know, there are things like adjusting the fat and protein. You know, dogs still need protein when they're older. You don't want them to have too much protein, but they still need to have protein, again, to help support that muscle mass and keep that muscle in their bodies. But then we also want to adjust the fat, right, because we don't want them to be getting heavier and get overweight. And so, and that, of course, puts a lot of stress on their joints and causes a lot of other issues. Mm-hmm. So so a lot of times you're seeing a reduced fat on a senior dog food as well. And, you know, things like having a special fiber blend or an amino acid, you know, that having our essential amino acids in there is really important because, again, that makes sure that the dog's getting all the nutrition that they need. So there are a little bit of a few changes that are often made for senior dogs when you look at their dog food.
Well, now, what makes Biljack Senior Select Formula a healthy choice for caring for senior pets?
You know, we do some of those things, right? Of course, we are adjusting that protein, we're adjusting that fat, and helping to make sure that they're getting an optimal amount of nutrition that way. We also have a special fiber blend to help support healthy digestion. You know, as they get older, you know, you want them to be able to, you know, be able to have that digestion moving along properly, like it's supposed to be. And then we certainly also guarantee omega fatty acids to help support skin and coat health. And that also, you know, helps to support other parts of their immune system. So it's really great to be able to have that omega fatty acids to be able to help with skin and coat and help them to kind of be healthy. And our kibble, you know, I know our kibble is kind of an odd shape. We get a lot of comments about that, but it's because we make our food so differently. And you know, dogs don't seem to mind. They really like the shape. But we also have an easy-to-chew kibble. And so that makes it really great for dogs who might, you know, like I said earlier,
absolutely,
you know, have lost some teeth or maybe have broken some teeth. You know, sometimes it could be challenging. Or, you know, some dogs that have more pushed-in faces, right, more pug kind of like dogs,
yeah,
sometimes have an easier time picking up our kibbles and eating them.
For listeners who want to learn more about Biljack and where to get Biljack, you know, locally, where could the listeners go?
Yeah, and I always recommend that you start off on our website at biljack.com. It's BIL-JAC.com. And you can go out there. We have a store locator. You can go out there. We have all the information about all of our products up there. You can learn a little bit more about them. You can even go to our dog blog and, you know, type senior dog or, you know, older dog and see kind of what information that you can find about taking care of them, both nutritionally and physically and mentally. And then, you know, we have our Best Friends Club, which is out there. You can always join our Best Friends Club online, and that is great because we send out monthly emails and opportunities to request a coupon. So it's a great way to be able to kind of, you know, have things come to you so you don't have to go find them.
And that's why I love it. I look forward to mine. I'm signed up. I look forward to mine every month. I look forward to getting mine. So, well, Kim, as always, you brought us great information. This is such an important month, Adopt a Senior Pet Month. And, you know, with our pets, it's important to have not only the proper nutrition, but the proper care and to have a lot of knowledge behind there. So you gave us some great tips to if people are thinking of adopting a senior pet or for those of us that have them at home right with us, kind of like the one sitting right next to me. So I thank you very much. And we'll be back in just a moment. Coming up, older dogs who still have a lot of life to give. Stay with us.
Today's episode is sponsored by Hanover Square Press and The Secret Language of Cats, How to Understand Your Cat for a Better, Happier Relationship by Suzanne Schatz. Have you ever wondered what your cat is saying? In The Secret Language of Cats, Schatz offers a crash course in cat phonics to help you crack the cat code. Perfect for the fans of The Lion in the Living Room and the inner life of animals. The Secret Language of Cats by Suzanne Schatz is available for purchase today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. In honor of Adopt a Senior Pet Month, I thought I'd share with you one of the most happiest books I have ever read. No Dog Should Die Alone was the attention-grabbing headline of journalist Laura Coffey's Today Show website story about photographer Lori Fassaro and her amazing work with senior shelter dogs. The award-winning, best-selling book, My Old Dog, Rescued Pets with Remarkable Second Acts, is a memorable and remarkable book that combines the gorgeous photos and the sweet, inspiring, and true stories of old dogs learning new tricks. What better way to honor and recognize Adopt a Senior Pet Month than to have the author of My Old Dog with us today, Laura Coffey. Hey, Laura, how are you? Welcome to the Doggy Diva Show.
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, it's our pleasure. Now, you have this book was an award-winning book. You're a terrific author. But can you tell the listeners a little bit about yourself? Because you have kind of a different background. You're a journalist.
Yes, my background is in journalism. I've worked in journalism for longer than I want to admit. We're going on 30 years now. But my background was largely in newspapers for years and years. I started out at the St. Petersburg Times, which is now known as the Tampa Bay Times in Florida. That's where I began, and then went on and worked at newspapers around the country, in San Diego and in Seattle, at the Seattle Post-Intelligencer newspaper, the San Diego Union Tribune, and many other papers. And then in 2006, I made the shift to online-only digital journalism for NBC News, and I've been with NBC since 2006, and specifically with the Today Show since 2008. And I'm a longtime writer, editor, and producer for the Today Show's website. And in addition to that, I had the opportunity, you know, in recent years to write this book, My Old Dog, which was quite an adventure, let me tell you.
Oh, well, I want to ask, what was your inspiration for writing My Old Dog? I loved the book. I mean, I'm getting goosebumps as I'm talking about it with you, but I loved the book and I love the stories. What was your inspiration? Because I am, and anyone that listens to the show know that we are senior pet lovers here. I'm in a studio with a whole full of them right now.
And I have some sitting next to me. They might make noises at some point. Yeah. Oh, well, thank you for saying such nice things about the My Old Dog book. I really, really appreciate that. You know, the My Old Dog book stemmed from a story that I wrote in my job for today.com that went insanely viral in a way that I never, ever, ever would have anticipated. You kind of never know when that's going to happen. But I wrote a feature story a while back about this really wonderful photographer you mentioned in your introduction named Lori Fassaro. And Lori is a photographer in Los Angeles, and what she was doing, I spotted her work online and contacted her about writing a feature story, but what she was doing, like many really, you know, talented photographers around the country, she would go around and volunteer her time in shelters, specifically Los Angeles County shelters that had very high euthanasia rates, and she would go there on the weekends and volunteer her time to take super-duper high-quality photos of the pets in these shelters with the goal of increasing their chances of getting adopted. And what she was noticing week after week after making her rounds and going to all these shelters was that the senior animals, dogs and cats, were not making it out. And these were, you know, really overburdened shelters, and they couldn't turn any pets away that were dropped off, right? And so she kept noticing this trend, and it was really bothering her. And then one day she was trying to engage with this really old, very clearly very sick pit bull named Shady in the shelter, and this dog wouldn't even engage with her, and it was an owner surrender situation. The dog had been dropped off. It was 16 years old, had cancer, had a myriad other health problems, and Lori just couldn't take it. The idea of this poor dog, she knew there's no chance this dog was going to get adopted. So she made this impromptu decision without discussing it with her husband. She decided, I'm going to take this dog. gone home. And she thought this would be like, you know, just a chance to shower this dog with love and affection for the last maybe few days, maybe week of this dog's life. Brings the dog home, renames her Sunny, a more, you know, optimistic name than Shady. Yes. Anyway, brings this dog home, and the dog, once she got out of that shelter kennel and got into their nice, happy home with another dog and cats, this dog just thrived and lived with them almost 3 years, lived to be almost 19 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
and so it was such a transformative experience for Lori that she started a senior dog photography project because she wanted to try to change people's perceptions of older shelter animals and encourage people not to overlook the older ones. And I spotted these photos online and contacted her and wrote this feature story about the whole, you know, the plight of senior animals in shelters. And it went completely viral. It went crazy, crazy, crazy. It got shared all over the world. And before you knew it, we were contacted by an agent who thought it should be a book with Lori doing the photographs and I would write the book. And we wound up teaming up and we did it.
And you guys did a good job. Now, love the story of Sunny, of course. I fell in love with Sunny. There's so many stories in there, but just for the listeners, could you just pick one story maybe and tell us a little bit about that?
Well, you know, it is hard to do because the stories in the book are so completely different.
They are. Each one is really different and it's unique and the... And it's amazing how they flourish when they come, you know, when they get into their forever home, they flourish. And these are old dogs. I mean, I loved them. You know, I just.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a really.
It's true.
I'll ask one personal one because, of course, I love George Clooney. And I love all the photos that I've ever seen of George Clooney. But I have to tell you, the one in your book, that's the one that I love best because. It has him just like reclining. I'm trying to find it in the book, but he was like reclining and he had his dog on his lap. It was just like so beautiful. And maybe you could just tell us quickly about the George Clooney story.
Yes. So, you know, just to a little bit of background was I really did want the stories in the book to be very, very different and not feel repetitive. And I wanted to show the book contains stories of people ranging in age from their 20s to their late 80s who did this kind and compassionate thing of taking in an older shelter animal. And that it paid huge dividends in their lives and made their lives improve exponentially, right? And it shows anybody can do it, every economic level, every walk of life imaginable. But it occurred to me along the way that it would be really exciting if we could get just a few famous people, well-known people who had done this, just to kind of sprinkle in there with all the stories. And by doing some sleuth work online, I saw that George Clooney had taken in a rescued Cocker Spaniel named Einstein. The dog had been rescued by a really wonderful group called Camp Cocker Rescue, and it's a whole saga of what they went through to rehabilitate this poor dog that was morbidly obese and had thyroid problems, eye problems, ear problems, all kinds of issues. And so they spent a year trimming this dog down and helping the doggy get exercise and got the dog in shape and made this sweet little video and put it online. And for all of us, you know, people who love animals, you know, these videos set to music. They just did this video about this dog, Einstein, and who is scrolling around online one night and falls madly in love with this dog, but George Clooney. And he's determined he has to have this dog, and he fills out this incredibly detailed application that the rescue group makes people go through. It's more than 70 questions. And he fills it all out, and then they see the applicant is George Clooney, and they're really, really nervous, in part because they want to make sure this dog had been through so much, and they wanted to make sure that this dog was really going to like George Clooney, but it's like whoever wanted to adopt him. And so here it turns out that the applicant's George Clooney, and they tell him point blank, you know, if Einstein isn't comfortable with you and doesn't like you, we're not going to let you.
I love that because that's a true rescue person. No, I love you, George, but it's all about Einstein. Yeah.
It was. And so he said that he was so nervous the day that Einstein was going to come to his house for the initial visit that he said he ran to his refrigerator and grabbed some turkey meatballs and rubbed them on his shoes to make sure that Einstein would like him. And it was a match made in heaven. It worked out. And it's so funny. And we did this big photo shoot with Einstein at George Clooney's house, which what an amazing guy that he agreed to let this happen and participate in this book. But that dog is the most food-focused dog I think I've ever, ever, ever met. And he was hilarious, and all these funny, charming details come out in that story. Really happy.
It is. It was a really happy. And I mean, and there's some other celebrities in there, and there's a lot of just basic, down-to-earth people who found their forever friend who happened to be, you know, a senior dog, whether they were retired from another profession, whether they were, you know, like a greyhound or, a search dog. I mean, it just had so much. And also, there's a great resource guide at the back for people who are looking maybe for a senior dog or are very interested in adopting or learning more about it, with a number of organizations by state. But, you know, I want to ask you, Laura, because you put so much into this book, and I love this book, and it's such a beautiful book. And it's even great just to leave it on your coffee table, because anyone sitting there going through this is going to go, oh, because the photography is beautiful, and the way you wrote the words, it has a nice, light, airy, very warm feeling to it. So I love the way you wrote it. But can you tell us why you personally feel that seniors make such remarkable family members?
Well, I will tell you that I know from experience, especially with this doggy at my feet right here, that senior dogs are just awesome. You know, they're calm and they're mellow. They're sweet. They're usually already house trained. This is a huge plus.
Mm-hmm.
Many people think that they need to get a puppy, you know, just think that that's how it goes. You get a puppy, but puppies are so much work. And I'm not knocking puppies. And if somebody, I mean, obviously we all love animals, right? But, and there are younger dogs that need help too, for sure. But the interesting thing is that for people with busy lifestyles, maybe if that little light bulb could go off and they can realize that they could kind of jump right ahead to the perfect golden age nirvana part of having a pet in your life,
yes.
You have this pet who's less rambunctious, doesn't need as much physical activity, which, you know, they still need to be walked. They still need some activity, of course, you know, let's not, you know, make any mistake about that, but they're not as intent on property destruction and indoor urination.
You know what it is? They've worked out all their yayas. They've got that all
yes.
in the back. They're coming to
yes.
you with just like a lot of love. And it's almost like they know, because, you know, I have one senior sitting right next to me in the chair next to me, my little co-host, Miss Olive. They know when their life's about to change. I still believe that some of them are coming from lives that maybe the owner had to turn them in. Maybe it's something that it was an illness that they had, or they're going into a nursing home, or there's so many things out there, and there's so many wonderful organizations that take in these seniors, but they need homes and, you know,
right.
they need help. So, I gotta tell you, Laura, I sought you out to get you because I wanted everyone to know about this book. I know this book,
aww.
You know, it's a wonderful book. It was released a few years ago, but I have to tell you, I love it. I love what you did. I love what Laura did. Now, where can the listeners go to learn more about you and learn more about My Old Dog, and also where to get it?
Yes. So we have a book website. It's myolddogbook.com. And from there, it links to different websites, you know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble, et cetera, you know, different places where you could buy the book online. A lot of major bookstores, you know, still have the book in mm-hmm. stock, but definitely it's available online, and you can, you know, link to that through myolddogbook.com. And we also have a pretty active Facebook page. On Facebook, it's My Old Dog, and we love to engage with people there and see people's dog photos. And, and you know, it's really a fun, you know, a little community there. And, you know, one other thing I want to mention, that for some people who might think it's going to be too sad that to take in an older dog, you know, it's interesting to me, when I was working on this book, to learn that veterinarians will call a dog a senior dog at age 6 for a large breed dog,
yeah.
or age 7 for a small breed dog. But those dogs have so much more life left in them, potentially. It doesn't have to be like what Lori did with a 16-year-old dog.
Yes.
You know, there are these dogs in that, you know, what I would think of maybe as more of a middle-aged dog, with maybe a decade of adventures ahead, they still need a place to go. And you're helping out someone, a potential wonderful family member who could come and bring a lot of comedy and joy into your life.
Yes, and they do. And one other thing I wanted to add, a very near and dear friend to our show, Dr. Marty Becker, also wrote in the back of it and gives some great tips on old dogs, and also how it's like their second act. It's not like, oh, you're just waiting for them, you know, to go. Some of them, with the right veterinary care, with the right amount of love and care, they turn around. It's like a little plant. They just blossom. So it isn't. And this is not a sad book. I'm telling you, it was one of the happiest books I ever read. And it's right out on my table. So as people come in my home, they see it. It's beautiful. And then they go and look at my senior dogs. But but again, I have to thank you, Laura. Thank you for taking the time to be with us. And thank you for sharing this wonderful book and also the beautiful photographs from Lori. Absolutely gorgeous. And I'm going to give everyone the website. It's myolddogbook.com to learn more about this book. And all of you who, whether you're a senior lover or not, the stories in here are wonderful. You are going to love it. So thank you, Laura, for being our guest today. And thank you for the wonderful work that you've done in bringing attention to some very, very special animals. And those are the senior pets. So thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Coming up, a gripping story of how one extraordinary dog rescues a war hero. Stay tuned.
What if you could protect the life of your cat with something so simple and affordable that you already use every day? Get ready for the evolution of kitty litter. It's Kitty Litter. Along with all the features you've come to expect from your kitty litter, Pretty Litter's patented and scientific formula will also monitor your cat's health and detect illnesses early while providing industry-leading odor control. Two kitty litters, same cat, same price. But there's one important difference. Pretty Litter reacts to your cat's waste by detecting health issues simply by changing color. And the key is that Pretty Litter detects these issues before your cat shows symptoms of physical illness or pain, likely saving you major dollars in vet bills while protecting the health of your cat. What do you think, little guy? Ready to switch litter? Pretty Litter. Colorful insight into your cat's health.
Go to prettylittercats.com/cat101 or use coupon code CAT101 to get 20% off your first subscription order.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Doggy Diva Show. Now, as Veterans Day approaches, our guest's new novel, Rescue, reminds us of how the trauma service members endure both abroad and at home while offering a humanizing message of recovery. Today, we welcome author Christopher Dant to discuss his inspiring and heartfelt book, Rescue, about a decorated war veteran with PTSD and his extraordinary service dog, and their strong bond, and then how everything changes when Chauncey goes missing. And I'm going to tell you that it is amazing, this book. You're absolutely going to love it. So I want to welcome today Christopher Dant, the author of Rescue. Welcome, Christopher.
Thank you very much, Susan.
First, I want to thank you for your service to our country. Beyond that, can you tell the listeners just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, I am a career writer, although a lot of it has been in nonfiction. But in about 2000, I studied creative writing. I was very fortunate to get into the creative writing program at Stanford in California, and I studied fiction writing for many years, and I've written a number of short stories. That was sort of my format for many years, and I published several, and I published a book of short stories. But I've always wanted to write a novel, but I felt that, you know, to write a longer form like that, I needed a good story to tell. And it was about 3 years ago that I came up with the idea of Rescue. It was based on real life people and to some extent real circumstances, although it is fiction.
Well, and that's what I was going to ask you. What was your inspiration? Because it is a fictional book, but I mean, it's right. Extremely compelling.
Yeah.
So I was wondering what your inspiration was for writing this. especially with the way you wrote it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge dog lover. I always have been, and I have a wonderful golden retriever that inspired the star of the book, Chauncey. But I had a very good friend by the name of Luis Carlos Montalban who wrote the book Until Tuesday. Mm-hmm. It was a national bestseller. And he was all over the talk shows and worldwide about his dog named Tuesday, who he was a decorated war veteran. Unfortunately, a couple of years ago, he passed away. And his dog wasn't with him, but his dog went to the original trainer. But it was a very difficult thing for me to hear about that. And I had written a story about a dog that was lost, a pet. And I thought, well, you know, it isn't terribly compelling. I mean, anybody has a pet, you know, that nothing strikes fear in the heart of a pet owner if a dog goes missing. But I thought, well, what if the owner was a decorated war veteran who relied on the dog to survive? And that is, you know, he cannot survive without the dog. So if the dog then goes missing, that is a very compelling story. And it started growing from there.
Now, what was your research? I guess we should talk about the lead characters in this book. So maybe you could sort of introduce the lead characters in this book, and yeah, we'll go kind of from there.
Yeah, the two big characters, the protagonist is Dirk Hansen, who is a veteran, a captain from Iraq, who is badly injured and has severe PTSD. And then the other protagonist is Drew Vaughn, who is an older woman. She's a veteran of Vietnam, and she the story tells how she had trained dogs at an early age, and that she loved training dogs, and she felt the need to do this to help veterans. So she started this company called Canines Assisting Soldiers, or CAS. So those are the two main characters, and of course the huge character is Chauncey, the service dog.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to, I am a veteran in the Marine Corps, but I had to do a tremendous amount of research on this, about talking to soldiers who have PTSD. I talked to trainers of dogs. I partnered with Paws for Purple Hearts, which is a large national organization that that pairs dogs to veterans. And I had to really thoroughly, you know, internalize what it's like to have PTSD, even though I don't. And what it would, I certainly can identify with how horrible it would be to lose a dog.
Uh-huh.
And it was written in New England. That's where I live. And so the environment of the book is very familiar to me. But as anybody who's ever tried to write a novel or any short story, the main cornerstone of fiction is that it has to be absolutely real, that the reader has to believe heart and soul that this is happening. So I tried to do it from the point of view of those characters and others, but also the dog. I didn't do it from the dog's point of view, like Bruce Cameron does in his A Dog's Journey,
yeah,
or, you know, A Dog's Purpose, but it's, the narrator is very, very close to the dog, and so you really feel all the trauma and the problems that the dog faces through all the wilderness and encountering wild animals and going through cold city streets and not knowing where she is. It's very heartbreaking to write. I have to tell you, the struggles are very painful to write.
I just got goosebumps when you said that, because I was reading it, and I as I talked briefly to you before we started the interview, I read it in one sitting. I mean, I couldn't put it down. It was so compelling, and it was happy, sad, learning a lot. But I mean, there had to be so much research and so much because of the accuracy of things that you wrote. And I know some people who have suffered from PTSD, and the traumas and the night traumas and different things you put in there were so accurate and spot on. And another thing, you know, Christopher, that you did that I really found interesting was the prison program.
Yes.
Because there were people in there who were obviously suffering, and one character who was extremely vulnerable, I'll put it, how it changed them. I mean, I found this to be, I wish that more, and there, I know there are prison programs, but I wish there were more, because there are people there, even gang members, who could, as you outlined, who could benefit from this. So I really, I appreciated your including that in there also.
Well, it wasn't made up. Actually, it was part of Louis Carlos Montalvan described it in his book. I know of many, many programs, Pups for Prisoners, and they're all called different names. But they do teach, they do help the prisoners with their hopelessness, and they give them purpose. But it also helps with the dog to get one person, because before the prison program, Chauncey in the book had been bounced around from one trainer to the next, and she never forms a bond, but when she goes into prison, she forms a bond with Jerry Burson, mm-hmm. who is a lifer. And when Chauncey had to leave and go back to her training program, it was very, very difficult for the dog, because it was 6 months, but, you know, that is years in a dog's life. So it's a very powerful program. And I think I wanted to show that the dog, even when she left, she just didn't trust anybody. And then when she met Dirk, he didn't trust anybody either. So when they finally clicked and they got together, it was an extraordinarily remarkable and strong bond between them. So that's why when she's abducted, it just is horrible. It was almost a chapter I couldn't write. I kept telling my wife, I don't think I can finish this chapter. It's so difficult.
No, but that's a sign that of what an amazing writer you are. I mean, it was difficult to read, but I mean, and the ending, it all plays itself out, and there's all different things that go on in between, but I could see where that would be difficult to write. It's almost too difficult to think of, but unfortunately, things like that really do go on out there. Well, and one of the things you touched on just now, the strong bond. Can you share, like, the strong bond that was between Dirk and Chauncey? I mean, it was so penetrable. I mean, it was, like, almost impenetrable. It was amazing.
Well, I mean, anybody who owns a dog knows how strong the bond is. I mean, you know, they are just, it's something that almost goes without, you can't even describe it. The hand was very shaky when I tried to capture that. But for a service member who, has suicidal thoughts and, you know, has psychiatric problems and mental breakdowns, the dog becomes everything to them, everything. And without the dog, it was like Dirk, you know, just wanted to end his life, but he realized in book that he couldn't do it because he thought, well, if I do this, Chauncey will be alone in the world, and she needs me. So it's a pretty strong, it's a power, you know, it's really the power of love to heal, and it's really a story of courage and perseverance of a man and the devotion of his dog, and a remarkable and a forgettable dog. It's a pretty powerful story, actually.
Powerful, and it's a very good story for people who may not be familiar with PTSD or may not be familiar what our veterans are going through when they come back. It's very hard, and you very clearly explained it, but you did it in a way that was sensitive to see how they matched the dogs up. And I know there are a number of organizations, we've interviewed some of them here, and what they do with these dogs is absolutely amazing. And the and like we talked about, the bond that forms, you went into that. So people who are not familiar with that or are looking to learn more about that, they'll find that in this book. If you're looking for a mystery, you'll find that in this book. Or if you're just looking for something inspiring, you'll find that in this book. And in fact, I told my husband, I said, oh my gosh, that's one of the best books I've ever read. And he goes, he said, you didn't put it down. You never get out of the chair.
I know. I learned to write page turners, you know.
Oh, well, that was a page turner. I'll tell you that. It was very, very good. Now, I do have one question I want to ask. Your cover is extremely, it's like a Vermont New England type cover, but there's the back of a head of a golden, and I wanted to ask, could that possibly be your Chauncey?
That picture is in fact the real Chauncey, and It was taken about 4 or 5 years ago when we lived in a different part of Vermont. It was taken on a very cold, snowy February day, and I was out in this large field. And Chauncey just sat and started staring at this house. And I knew why, because there was a dog that lived there that she really loved, and so she was hoping to see it. So I walked around to the back of her and did this photograph, not thinking ever that it would be used. And years later, when I was doing this book, I thought, oh my God, that is the perfect cover. Because it really, I think, captures the longing and the yearning of the dog. And it tells the story. My wife looked at it and said, that is the cover right there. So
it is. It's not only do you have a compelling book, but you have a compelling book cover. A lot of times they don't go hand in hand like that. So
I
want to ask, where can the listeners go to learn more about you, to learn more about Rescue, where they can purchase Rescue?
Yeah. Well, it's in all big bookstores online. You can go and get it at Barnes & Noble or Amazon. If you go to Amazon, if you type into Amazon under books, just type Rescue Novel or my name, Christopher Dant, and you'll find it. You'll see the cover. And it's available as a paperback for 1950, and it's now available as an ebook for, I believe it's $6.50. And soon, I hope, it's going to be available as a Audible book. I'm narrating the book. I feel it's very important.
Oh,
I think that
would be a wonderful Audible book. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, and it's and we have a local bookstore here in Vermont. We live in Manchester, Vermont, and they have a beautiful bookstore here called the North Shire, and you can get it through there. But it is not available in nationwide bookstores because we didn't market it that way.
Yeah.
So it's easy to get through Amazon, and it's totally available.
Well,
and I think on Amazon you'll also see some little blurb about me and my background.
Yes, which you do have a wonderful background. And I want to thank you again for writing such a wonderful and inspiring and heartfelt book. And I also want to thank you for your service, because that's very important, especially as we approach Veterans Day. But again, the book Rescue by Christopher Dant, it's something that I think that all of you, whether you're a veteran, whether you're not a veteran, if you just want a great, inspiring, heartfelt story, if you are totally into the bond with animals, as you know I am, and if you're looking for something with a bit of a mystery, you're going to love this little mystery and little intrigue. As I said, it's a page turner. So, Christopher, thank you so much for being our guest. And
well, thank you.
And I'm going to be looking for that audiobook, because I have a feeling this is a book I want to hear.
Well, I'm beginning to start to narrate it, so thank you.
All right. Thank you very much, and we'll be back in a moment. Hello, everyone. Miss Olive and Sophia the Doggy Diva are so happy that their first book in the Doggy Diva Diary series, Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home, is now available at online book retailers. So please visit Miss Olive and Sophia at www.thedoggydiva.com, that's DoggyDiva, to order your copy now. And they hope that you love reading Miss Olive Finds Her Forever Home as much as they loved writing it. Thank you. We would like to thank our guests this week, and also, as our doggy divas always say, please love your pets because they love you unconditionally. And please remember to adopt, foster, spay, neuter, and microchip. And as always, please have a great Diva Week, everyone.
The views expressed by guests on this program do not necessarily represent the views of the host or owners of the Doggy Diva Show and do not necessarily constitute endorsement of products. Medical information discussed by guests on this program are those of the guests and is only for informational purposes and should not replace medical advice by your local veterinarian professional.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.